It is my normal habit, if I have anything normal, to depart from the book we are studying, which we will, and we will be going this morning in celebration of the Lord's Supper to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 22, if we can do all of that. And we're going to look at when Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood," what happened? The new covenant did many things. Number one, the new covenant abrogated Moses to the past. You are not in right relationship with God through the law of Moses. There's a lot of Christians that love the law of Moses. They like stoning and dietary restrictions, and it hurts to feel so bad. It feels so good to hurt. These are weird ways that we think. Jesus Christ redeemed us from the law. The law cannot save. Indeed, if there was a law, Paul said, that could save, then Christ died needlessly. When we celebrate the new covenant, when Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood," some wondrous things beyond the law of Moses happened. And this chapter looks at that. We've all now learned who are the true children of Abraham. Those who are in Christ. I don't care what your genetic pedigree is. You could go back to Abraham and Sarah. And if you haven't trusted Jesus, guess what? You are not a child of Abraham. For you must be in the seed, which is Christ. But there's some other things that have happened when we celebrate this. And verse 11 starts this out. Therefore, remember. You know what worries me about that word, remember? Because of today's weakened preaching, they have no idea what they need to even remember. How can you remember if you have no memory and haven't been taught what the Bible says? Today we're in churches that would rather tell stories and poems than to teach people the wondrous nature of the new covenant. You remember that formerly, before you came to Jesus, you Gentiles, do you know what the chosen people called Gentiles? Dogs. You see, God never intended that, but when you are the chosen people, you actually will believe the press. Well, we're chosen, but God said, "I didn't choose you because you were good. I chose you because you were bad," he told them, "and I'll show my grace upon you." But after a while, when you're told that you're the chosen, you consider everybody else bad. You forget God's grace. Well, you dogs, you Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision. Boy, that was a nasty, nasty word. That meant you are not part of anything God has planned or done. You're uncircumcised. You're not part of the chosen group. By the so-called circumcision, which is performed in human flesh by hands, remember that at that time, before you came to the Lord, you were separated from Jesus, the Messiah. By the way, when you see the word Christ, put the word Messiah in, because it's really talking about the Jewish Messiah who is Savior. You were separated from the Jewish Messiah, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. Now, please note that. If you were a Gentile and you even went near the temple, you would be executed. Matter of fact, if you were at that day women and you got too far in, you'd be in trouble. You see, God broke this all down. You were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers separated from the Jewish Messiah, strangers to the covenants of promise. You now know what's the covenants of promise, what God promised Abraham. In other words, before you come to Jesus, you've got nothing. You were without hope and without God. That's what you were formerly. But look at verse 13. When Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood," he then pronounced, "But now." Now that the new covenant has been inaugurated in Jesus the Messiah, you who were formerly afar off have been brought what? Near. Near to what? No, everything that he said you were afar off from. You're near to Christ. You're near to the commonwealth of Israel. Did you just hear that? That is not the commonwealth of Israel that you see today. Whatever that thing is in the Middle East is not. Do they believe in Jesus? As a matter of fact, on Saturday morning, the children's cartoons, they crucify a rabbit on a cross and mock him. Saturday morning children's show in Tel Aviv. I've seen it. Now, what that means is this. We don't hate them. But we know one thing. The true seed of Abraham is not those who claim it, but those who are in Jesus. Quit looking at those people and saying, "Well, they're Jews and I'm not." No, you're the true Jew and you are the real commonwealth of Israel. You've been brought what? Jesus in the new covenant unites. He does not divide. You're now not strangers to the covenant with Abraham. You are a partaker. You who are far off have been brought near. For he himself is our peace. You know what? You'll know an immediate example of this. When Jesus went through Samaria, bunch of Gentiles, what did the Jews want to do with the Samaritans? Kill them? John said, "Let's call fire down from heaven on them, Lord." Guess what? In the new covenant, we are all, Jew and Gentile, are all united as one. He made both groups into one, broken down that dividing wall. So when you see people going like this, they're telling you you have to become a member of the law of Moses. It's gone. You want to be a real Jew? Follow Jesus is what? You want to be a son and daughter of Abraham? Follow Jesus. Because under the new covenant, you're looking at things wrongly. You look on the television, you say, "Look at those Jewish people against the Wailing Wall." Here's what you say. They're not Jewish people because the true Jew is one that has trusted Jesus as Savior. Now that's what the Bible teaches, but you won't hear that in some study Bibles. I hate study Bibles anymore. The notes override the Word of God. He's abolished, verse 15, in his flesh, the enmity, that hostility, the law of commandments. He might make both into one new man. Hey, under the new covenant, you quit making those distinctions. There's one new creation. As a matter of fact, you say, "Well, isn't the church the bride?" Well, here Paul says it's a new man, a new creation, where Jew and Gentile are into one body. And if you're not in the body of Christ, you are not truly a child of Abraham. He reconciled them. He made peace to God, putting them in one body through his death. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away. Again, what were you far away from? Everything in verse 12. What were you brought near to? Everything in verse 12. For through him, Jesus, we have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer, quit thinking this. You see someone who maybe walking with a yarmulke. Sorry, you don't need to wear a yarmulke to be the true child of Abraham in the new covenant. That's what the Bible says. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ, by the way, that's Old Testament prophets. By the way, in the New Jerusalem, guess what? The unity of God's people is seen in that the 12 gates not only are named after the 12 tribes, but what? The 12 apostles. That's God's way of saying, I'm uniting them into one new body. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Did you hear what he just said? Don't ever tell. I remember. This is a bad thing to say, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I remember years ago when I was at a church, a Baptist church. It was not a good experience for me because I'm a wild preacher. And there was a student whose wife was beating their child in the men's or women's restroom because the kid wouldn't behave on the back row. Look, we don't care. We're glad to have the kids here. If they want to jump up and down in the seats, that's fine with me. But she was beating them and saying, "This is God's house. Bang, bang." That's good fundamentalism, isn't it? It was disgusting, in my opinion. This is not God's house. This is a building. This is only God's house, the Bible says, when the bricks are here. And the only temple, don't get thrilled about some temple they would build in Israel, because that's not the true temple under the new covenant. Why don't people see this? They can practice all they want for the red heifer they want. God will never accept it. That is blasphemy against the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you are the temple. You're the bricks. That's why Jesus said, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you won't need a building to worship in. You will worship how? In spirit and in truth." You've become the brick of the building. But what do Christians do today? They build these edifices and say, "That's God's house." That's nuts. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. It's God's people that are the temple. There's the true reality of things. This is just a crazy building where we would put up a 35-foot fertility rights symbol that we pretend to be Christmas. In whom the whole building is a holy temple, in whom you are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Guess what? Once we leave here today and this building has chairs and the lights are out, guess what this is? Nothing. You're the building. That's the spiritual reality of the new covenant. So, that's what Jesus has done. That's what the Bible says. Of course, if you look at your study Bible, it'll tell you something different, because they want to control your thinking and they don't want the Word of God to reign supreme in your mind. That's why we celebrate the new covenant. Jesus has united Jew and Gentile into one new creation, and only in Jesus Christ is there any reality at all. God did it. We didn't.